Next on BYU Sports Nation, rising NFL draft stock for former BYU receiver Mitch Matthews. Why a prominent NFL analyst says he should be drafted.
We know Bronson Cafusi will be drafted. ESPN's Merrill Hodge on why he is an underrated NFL prospect.
Say what? Plus, the Ginger Mamba, TJ Haas, is back from his mission and ready to start his BYU basketball career. Let's go!
This is BYU Sports Nation, brought to you by The BYU Store, simulcast on BYU TV and BYU Radio. Now, from Studio B, here's Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan.
BYU Sports Nation live in Radio Vision, presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Tuesday, April 12th.
Tuesday.
Wherever and however you're dialed in, great to have you with us. I am Spencer Linton, teamed up with ice cream consultant Jerem Jordan.
We had a lot of ice cream last night. In fact, I fed my daughter a lot of ice cream because we were at the BYU basketball banquet. Very fun to be there. Kind of formal closure to the 2015-16 season. Fun to be there. Good food, lots of ice cream. So I had a great night.
One of my favorite moments happened during a sidebar conversation I had with Chase Fisher while things were wrapping up. He said one thing to my wife, Brittany. He said, I'm like Bruce Wayne. I'm like Batman. I'm always going to come back, man.
He's always going to come back.
Okay.
So, which is good.
Yes, we want Chase to be in Pro Bowl as much as possible. Okay. And the second thing he said is, I think I should have won all of the team awards.
Classic Chase. He didn't win the triple-double award. I went to one player in particular.
He's like, I think I should have won the six-man award even though I started.
Yeah. That's classic Chase, man. It's about three things. God, guns, and America.
Oh, he's so funny.
Maybe it's about
man.
Multiple gods. I don't know.
I'm going to miss that guy. I really am.
I miss him now.
But I'm excited that TJ Haas is back from his mission and a new era
the
BYU
Ginger
basketball
Mamba.
Starts. The Ginger Mamba.
Who calls him that on Twitter?
Pretty sure Pat Haas, Jake who? Caressa. I don't know. You can correct me if that's wrong.
The but Ginger Mamba.
I've seen it from a number of people.
Wasn't Brian Scalabrine Red Mamba? So we go Ginger Mamba?
The Ginger Mamba.
Is that offensive in any way?
Awesome,
I want to be careful.
Tell me how awesome that nickname is.
Well, we'll ask him about it. He's going to be on the show coming up.
I love it so
very
much.
Very exciting.
Here are today's BYU Sports Nation headlines. It's a baseball game day. The Bat-Cats against Utah tonight at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. The Cougars moved up to number 21 in the Riders poll, number 22 in the Coaches poll. They are 35 in the latest RPI rankings.
Cougars versus the Ginger Utes coming up tonight at 8 Eastern time. Kyle Collinsworth will play in the 64th annual Portsmouth Invitational Tournament in Virginia starting Thursday. It's a pre-draft opportunity for potential NBA draftees.
Good luck to Kyle. Fox Sports NFL insider Mike Garofalo reporting that Dennis Pitta will continue his NFL career after consulting with doctors about his twice-repaired hip.
The takeover from Dennis Pitta will have to wait. That's good news, in my opinion, especially for me. Men's volleyball remains atop the ABCA coaches poll, garnering 13 of the 20 first-place votes. That's my favorite word ever, by the way, garner. UC Irvine will face BYU Saturday. Irvine is ranked 14th. That'll be live on BYU TV Saturday night.
Beat the Anteaters.
Anteaters.
And garner a trip to the semifinals.
That's only supplanted by the UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs.
The Anteaters and the Banana Slugs.
What other good ones are out there? Send them hashtag BYUSN.
Yeah,
send
what other random awesome mascots are there?
Irvine Anteaters, Santa Cruz Banana Slugs.
Can you beat those? Can you beat those? Send them
the
in.
The Camas High in Vancouver, Washington were the paper makers. Harrison Collier, our line producer today, he's from Vancouver. I used to live there, too. Jordan Chapman's from that same city. The paper makers. Seriously. You have to go with Jordan Beat Diggers locally.
That reminds me of the Peyton Manning commercial when he's like rooting on like normal people. Make that paper! Make that paper! Or cut that meat!
Yeah, having a paper mill by you, never a good smell.
Oh, good stuff. Rise and shout, my friends. We're off to a good start. It's time for What's Trending.
You're talking about it, and so are we. It's What's Trending on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU to the NFL. Bronson Cafusi, as Jerem mentioned at the top of the show, will be drafted. It's going to happen. Now, we're seeing everything from projections of late second round to as late as the fourth. And in one case, I saw a fifth round. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that Bronson is, at the latest, in my opinion, is going to go in the third round. Just because he's had a really good offseason and his numbers have been good to back up what he already did on the field. But with Bronson being the clear NFL draft pick for BYU this year, that brings us to the curious case of another BYU player that has rising draft stock in the NFL, and that is the curious case of Mitch Matthews, as Jerem dubbed this morning.
Who's been discussed at length on this show, elite or not, you know, that whole conversation. But the conversation has evolved because his pro day was so good, and now we're seeing, on Twitter and on the internet that he's getting some buzz, which is great for Mitch Matthews. We know that he's a good receiver. He's some level of good. That has been the debate on the show. Today's not that day, per se, but it's good to see that Mitch Matthews is getting a little more buzz, because I don't want one draft pick from BYU. I want multiple every year.
That could happen. This from Gil Brandt, NFL Media Senior Analyst for NFL.com. The title of this article is this: BYU's Hail Mary hero could be 2016 draft selection. Then I quote, wide receiver Mitch Matthews ran the 40 in 4.47 seconds. He had a 36-inch vertical and a 10-foot-9 broad jump. If you're not aware of what that means, they're all really good athletic measurements. He also referenced the size of Matthews' hands and continued, Matthews, who had a memorable Hail Mary catch in the season-opening win over Nebraska, really looked good catching the ball and running routes at BYU's Pro Day. He appears to be worthy of a late-round draft selection, end quote. That brings us to our Twitter question today.
Will Mitch Matthews be an NFL draft pick? Why or why not? We just straight up, now tell me. Hashtag BYUSN, at Lasersheep. Yes, I think his size will not be overlooked. He is energetic, shifty, elite enough. View the Utah State film.
Will Mitch Matthews get drafted? Jerem, where do you stand on this after reading the Gil Brandt article and now seeing the buzz that is surrounding him following his pro day?
I don't think he'll be drafted, but I hope that he is. Okay, I think that he is an NFL caliber type of receiver. Now, there's still some questions about Mitch that were left unanswered after this season. Before the season, we talked about, is he strong enough on the line? Can he beat man coverage? No one's questioning Mitch Matthews' athleticism. I was not shocked at what he did in the combine. He is an elite athlete. Is he an elite receiver in college football? That encompasses the whole package, right? Mitch Matthews is one of the best receivers to play at BYU ever. To me, he's one of the top 20 receivers in BYU history. But will he be drafted? I'm not sure that even... It does matter. I want him to be drafted. But he's going to make at least a practice squad, in my opinion, and have a shot at making a 53-man roster.
The measurables during Pro Day and just his size and athleticism alone, there are too many people in the NFL, especially owners and guys that get caught up in those numbers. And when you look at Mitch Matthews just as a physical specimen,
oh, fantastic.
There are too many people that are going to be like, yes. And if he's not good enough right now, we can make him good enough for the NFL because he has the basis of what we need. I just don't see him falling all the way.
I think he'll be drafted?
I think he'll be drafted in the seventh round. Yeah.
That would be fantastic if Mitch Matthews was drafted, because BYU's had pass rushers be drafted every other year for the last several years, right? It'd be nice to get skill position players, because a guy like Mitch Matthews has put in the time, athletically, off the charts, as we saw. There's still questions with him, but I think that those can be answered. He can improve. Yeah, was he elite in college football? In my opinion, no. But you don't have to be drafted, in my opinion. You look at this, and we have had this discussion, elite or not, and what role does the NFL draft play in this? What's your opinion on that?
For me, my personal opinion is that being drafted is the number one most important thing in that elite conversation.
Wow, number one. Why do you say that?
Because there are 1,200 roughly, maybe probably more. I mean, I underestimated. There are 1,200 Division I receivers. There were 35 drafted last year. That's less than 3%. If you're drafted, it's so hard to make it to the next level.
Yeah.
And if you're in the top 3% of all Division I wide receiver athletes, to me, that is elite. That alone is like, wow, you're good enough to play in the NFL.
Here's why I say no. I looked at those 35 to see who they were. There's a dude from Monmouth, UConn. I didn't even know Monmouth had it. I just thought they just celebrated basketball on the bench. UConn, Northern Illinois, East Carolina, William & Mary, Central Arkansas. Like, among the draftees, like, I don't count those guys as elite receivers.
But who cares where you play?
But they made the NFL. Like, I saw, we saw Jeremy Davis of UConn play. I would not call him an elite college football receiver. I thought he was really good.
He had an impact in the NFL, though.
I wouldn't call him elite. Like, he got drafted, and that's fantastic. But it had more to do with his athleticism than, like, kind of stats and that kind of thing. I think Mitch Matthews is fantastic. I don't think he's an elite receiver among all the college football receivers, but I think he's really good and has a shot at being drafted.
35 out of 1,200. So just by the percentage alone, you ask me why I feel like that is elite. It's so hard to get drafted into the NFL.
Oh, for sure.
And so I don't care where you play.
To me, you got to be even above that.
I don't care where you play, and every receiver is going to have a downside. I mean, other than, like, the top two guys, like, there are going to be, you know.
It's a pretty major downside, though, the one I'm talking about. Like, if you can't get open, you can't catch the ball. Like, that's an issue, right?
Against who? Michigan? Is that what you're referencing?
Michigan is every week in the NFL. Like, those caliber of corners, right?
It depends on how you match up against and who plays against you. Like, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. And I'm of the opinion that you can get better at those things. And I'm saying that the numbers, the measurements that he has are going to be very much noticed.
It screams NFL prospect.
Yes.
For sure. It does. Now, will a team draft him? I hope so.
Here's the number one reason I think that Mitch Matthews, besides his pro day measurements, is appealing to a bunch of NFL teams and scouts. And that is our stat of the day.
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
Mitch Matthews' 11 touchdown catches last year were tied for 12th nationally. He is a red zone target. He goes up and attacks the ball in the red zone. You're 6'6", and you have a 36-inch vertical. Good grief. Just throw it anywhere in the area, and he's got big hands to go up and get the ball. We saw that time and time again last year. He is a red zone threat. NFL teams love big, tall receivers that can go up and get the ball against the shorter cornerbacks.
If you can get off the line. If you can't get off the line, you can't go up and get the ball, right?
Oh. You know what? We've debated that long enough. Here's something that we never debate.
Countdown to the Wildcats.
144. That's it.
144 days away.
Only 144. Oh, it feels so long now. Like, 150 was like a notable mark. Now I'm like, 144.
Don't you remember when we were like 248, though?
Listen, I love Star Wars. I didn't count down from 144 days for Star Wars.
You didn't?
No.
See, that's the one thing I think you would count down for.
I probably did on my mission.
Coming up, Merrill Hodge of ESPN, why Bronson Cafusi is underrated as an NFL draft prospect. And this man right here, TJ Haas, is in Studio B. Welcome back, sports friends. Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan broadcasting in Radio Vision live on BYU Radio, simulcast on BYU TV, presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey, tonight, baseball against Utah, 8 Eastern time. This Saturday, the MPSF quarterfinals are going for men's volleyball. Number one ranked BYU takes on 14th ranked UC Irvine, 9 Eastern time on BYU TV. So a big week on campus.
Something just happened that I think all of you will be interested in. Shaquille Walker was just named the NCAA National Athlete of the Week. BYU Track and Field tweeting that out. He is the first track and field athlete to run under 145 in the 800 since 2012.
We watched it yesterday. It was amazing. I mean, he has a chance to make the Olympics. He's got to be top three. Last year he finished in sixth. And he said, I need to run a sub 145. And he did last week.
BYU Sports Nation karma in full stride with, how do you say it, Jerem?
Shaq Walker.
Thank you very much.
That's how Shaq says Shaq Walker, right?
Joining us now in Studio B, a man we are very excited to have on the show, and a man that just got back from Lyon, France. Perhaps you can correct
well
that
said.
Pronunciation. Did I do
okay?
TJ Haas. I've heard you called the Ginger Mamba, TJ. Can we call you the Ginger Mamba?
If you'd like. Yes.
What's it like to be back? It's been 2 weeks to the day, right?
No, it feels really good to be back with friends, family, get back going here in Provo, get working out a little bit, trying to get back into shape. It's been really good to be back.
BYU basketball career beginning this fall, and you know, we have a ton of questions about that, obviously, but now that you've been back a couple of weeks, what's been the biggest transition for you from going from the missionary life just back into the normal swing of things, whether it's basketball or not?
Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of knew what I was getting myself back into, so it wasn't a huge transition. The roads here are really big. it's, I think you have to make like a 5-point turn to make a U-turn over in France, and the roads here are ginormous. So that's been really weird.
What was the first thing you ate? What's a movie you watched that you'd wanted to see?
I saw Batman. I always loved Batman,
and
I
think versus Superman.
No, or? just the old one.
Just the old one.
Okay. I haven't really seen too many new movies. Yeah. And then Mom's Cooking. You have to have Mom's Cooking.
Absolutely.
What did you want her to make?
Anything.
Anything, really?
Mom's the best.
Okay.
She knows what she's doing.
I get. Does anybody else think he sounds like Tyler Haas?
Yeah, when he came in, I was like, Tyler 2.0. Yeah, you sound just like Tyler. It's great.
Is that a good thing?
That's a good thing. Yes. But there's only one Ginger Mamba, right? Okay, very good. TJ Haas with us in Studio B on BYU Sports Nation. Now, we saw a picture on Instagram tweeted out or Instagrammed out by your brother Tyler that you were able to see him before you returned home. What was that like to see him? He's now playing in Europe and you were still finishing up your mission.
Really cool. I didn't think I'd be able to see him for a couple more months. And he was off a couple of days, and so him and his wife came out to Lyon. And it was really special to see him. My mission president surprised me pretty good. Really cool to see him and see his wife, and he looks really happy.
Yeah, he got married while you were gone. Well, that's hard to miss that kind of stuff, right?
No, that was hard, but I'm really happy for him. He's really happy over in Spain right now, and him and Summer are doing really well, so I'm happy for him.
A lot of people are excited about and have looked forward to this season, which is the first of three with you and obviously Nick and Eric and company, and the surrounding cast is pretty impressive too. What's it been like to try and focus on your missionary work, but now, okay, you can focus on this now, finally?
Mm-hmm. It's been good. To focus on missionary work is really important, and I felt like I did that, and now it's time to focus on the next chapter. And I'm really excited for the guys I'm going to be playing with. Some I've already played with, but the surrounding pieces are incredible, and we have a good team, and I'm excited for what we're going to do.
With Nick in Germany and Eric Mika in Italy, and I'm speaking of Nick Emery.
Eric comes home in 2 weeks, by the way.
And you in France. What was that dynamic like when you all were out on your missions and in Europe in a relatively close proximity?
It was really fun because there's nothing like serving a mission. You learn lessons that you only can learn there on a mission. So it was really cool to see us go from basketball to that next chapter. Serving people where we were serving, and I think it brought us a little bit closer as well.
You did not meet in Luxembourg to play basketball ever, right? You did not meet in the middle?
Not on the record.
Okay,
no.
There were. Yeah. What's the process like for you right now as you try and get back into shape? Because I know Chris Collinsworth came off his mission and had an injury, and that kind of led to more injuries. And so then Tyler did it a certain way. Kyle Collinsworth did it a certain way. Is there a pattern there that you take?
I kind of want to follow what my brother did, just taking day by day and trying to get better each and every day, not trying to do too much, because my body's not super ready for that quite yet, but just taking it day by day and getting better each day.
Via your grandpa Ralph on Twitter, he's a Twitter superstar.
He's the Haas insider.
he said, your dad said after a shoot around with you, quote, you never lose your stroke in reference to you. How's your shot feeling right now?
The shot still feels pretty good.
Yes! Says BYU Sports Nation.
Okay, so with Grandpa Ralph getting that out of the way, what do you feel like you need to work on the most? Like, what's going to be the most difficult part about getting, you know, your A game back on the basketball floor?
I think the biggest thing for me right now is getting in shape. Being able to get up and down the floor for 40 minutes is more than high school. So I need to be in better shape than I was in high school. So that's my biggest focus right now is getting back into shape.
How long before you actually play in a full court pickup game?
Probably a few months. Mm-hmm. You know, stay off it for a few months and focus on my individual game and being able to get up and down the court before I start that.
Is that hard? Because you come home and you want to play basketball, but it's more of an individual kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit hard, but I'm still getting that satisfaction from shooting and getting up and down the court. So
give us an idea. Like, you shoot 100 free throws, or what do you do? What's the workout right now, and how do you measure success?
Right now, it's been different. I've been shooting with my dad quite a bit, and we're working on, you know, shots from the inside, shots from outside, coming off screens, not with the ball, all kinds of different things. So nothing really set yet, but we're trying to get back into it.
How is old Marty's stroke?
It's still pretty good.
not as good as you and Tyler? Or how do we sit among the three of you in terms of stroke?
Well, we'd say I'm the best. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, you don't kid, DJ.
I like the confidence.
We like to hear that.
I love the confidence.
We like to hear that. We know that you're a different player than your brother Tyler because we have seen you play in different styles. But for those that aren't familiar with what you bring to the basketball floor specifically, what kind of a player are you going to be for BYU?
I think I play a little bit more like my dad. My dad played at a really fast pace, and that's what I try and do. I try and play at a fast pace, and I like the ball a little bit more in my hands, and Tyler's more coming off screens, catch and shoot type of thing, and I like coming off screens with the ball. And so we're a little bit different. He's a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, and I try
right
to
now.
Right now.
6'4", 6'5", what are you?
I'm about 6'4".
6'4", okay. Yeah. So you stayed the same height on your mission?
A few people said I grew, but I don't know.
Weight? Did you lose weight, gain weight on your mission?
I gained about 15 pounds.
Okay. You gained 15 pounds? Is that a good thing?
Yes, that's a good thing.
Croissants and other French food that can't think of off the top of my head.
The baguettes.
Baguettes!
There you go.
And cheese.
Of course, the baguettes and cheese.
I'm scared for Eric with pasta. Like, yeah. we'll see what that guy looks like.
And pizza.
What's the plan like in terms of – what have you laid out in terms of a timetable? Like, because I know in October you get going full speed, you start practice and whatnot in the fall. So what kind of goals have you laid out for yourself to get back into condition and ready to go?
Right now I'm working with the trainer down here at BYU, Bob Medina. He's really, really good. And so kind of what I said, I'm trying to take it day by day. And each day I'm trying to just do a little bit more. So hopefully here in a couple months, I'll be running up and down the floor, getting in some pickup games. So that's kind of a timetable here in a few months. I want to be playing pickup games.
Who is the update guy for you? Like, who told you how BYU was doing, and how often was that?
My dad was the update guy, and he was pretty good at it. Yeah, he kept me up to speed pretty dang good.
Sportscaster Marty.
What did you think of kind of the BYU season, and what have you talked with Nick Emery and other guys about?
Mm-hmm. I thought they had a really good season. We lost some games maybe we shouldn't have lost, but we won some really big games, which shows that, you know, we can play against anyone. We can beat those good teams. It's just a matter of bringing it every day so we beat those teams we should beat.
Tyler, we got to know Tyler really well, and we love Tyler. He's playing professionally in Spain, for those that didn't know. What's the difference off the court between you and Tyler? We've talked about on the court. What about off?
You know, Tyler's one of my best friends, and we've grown really close. When he got home from his mission, we were working out consistently together, and so that we grew a lot closer from that, and that was really good for both of us. And then when I went on my mission, he kind of knew what I was going through, and so he walked me through some things that really helped me a lot at the start of my mission, and he helped me continually as I had questions for him, and that helped us grow a lot closer as well.
Best friends, but competitors on the court, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I know that when you beat him, you're not afraid to tell him that you beat him. Is that going to change, TJ?
No. No way. When we were at the mission home, we were walking by, and there was a basketball court, and he was like, I'll take you right now, man.
And you said, I'll take you in my suit, dude. Let's go, man.
How many discussions did you teach this week? Huh? Did you give a referral at dinner?
TJ, great to have you in studio. B, welcome back. And we need you to sign our Stretch Y BYU Sports Nation flag, as well as give you some BYU Sports Nation karma for the off season to get back in shape.
All right,
TJ Haas, everyone.
Hey, he's been given a shooting shirt as well already. That you have. I need
that
one.
I do have. Calling Terry Nashif.
Yeah. Terry, how much, man? I'll just pay you. Whatever, man.
Up next, ESPN NFL draft expert and draft analyst Merrill Hodge joins us. Why does it think Bronson Cafusi is underrated, and will Mitch Matthews get drafted?
Ginger Mamba, bro.
BYU Sports Nation presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Simulcast on BYU Radio, moving pictures happening on BYU TV. Our conversation taking place right now on Twitter. Follow us at BYU Sports Nation and chime in using the hashtag BYUSN.
Big game tonight on the diamond for the Cougars. Utah and BYU, the 21st-ranked Cougars, taking on the Utes. 8 Eastern time. Watch it on BYU TV and listen on BYU Radio tonight.
Mike Littlewood called it a must win for BYU baseball every time they face the Utes. Check it out. Our Twitter question today, back to football. Will Mitch Matthews be an NFL draft pick? Why or why not? Send in your responses with that hashtag BYUSN. Joining us now on the Deseret First Credit Union Hotline is Merrill Hodge, former NFL star and current ESPN NFL analyst. And let's not forget Tecmo Bowl standout running back. Merrill, nice to have you back.
Always nice to be introduced as Tecmo Bowl. Some people are driving going, why is Tecmo Bowl?
Only the greatest Nintendo game ever.
That's right.
Merrill,
It started off, so you got that right.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I hear you're going to be part of a new NFL draft show on ESPN on April 12th and 19th. In which your responsibilities will include a profile of BYU's Bronson Cafusi. What is it that you see in Bronson Cafusi that you will feature during that show?
Well, I'm going to back up just for a second. You know, when we have done the draft, and I say ESPN over the years, I've always felt that, you know, our bosses, they want to cover it 360. And I've always felt we cover it 180 and we keep repeating the 180. And the 180 that we cover, quite honestly, is really not conducive to transitioning college players into the NFL. Example, we tell about what they did in college, what records they have, trophies they won, national championship or bowl games they won. Then we tell what they did on the pro day, their pro day, and the combine. Well, none of that really has any relevancy whatsoever to the environment they're about to enter. The environment in the NFL changes from what it is in college. I mean, the field alone, I try to tell people this all the time, is different. You know, and they go, well, what do you mean? Well, if you look at the field and you take the college hash marks that are very wide and you bring them in, the game in the NFL is played in the middle because of that. You know, you take about 5 yards off of one side of the field or enough or of the other based on where the ball is aligned, it's a different game. And then the talent is balanced. You play in the middle of the field, so there's a certain skill set. So, and I've been trying to get us to do the show. Well, ESPN finally agreed to it, and we're doing it under our matchup format. So it's based on watching tape, so coaching tape of the NFL and coaching tape of college. Mm. Now, part of our show, actually today, tonight it airs. It'll air at 6 p.m. you guys' time on ESPN. You know, I went through – here's how I do it. I have no agenda other than to find the skill set, a football skill set that will translate to the NFL. I get a list of 5 or 6 guys deep in each position that people are saying are going to be great players. Now, I get done with the 5 pass rushers, and I've watched Bronson Cafusi. I've known him for a couple of years with Bo being there. I'm like, I'd like to see where he stacks up. So I plugged him in, and I watched about 3 games, and it only took like 1 game for me to immediately say he's better than Ogbah, the kid from Oklahoma State, who was highly touted. Then I go Shaq Lawson. He's better than Shaq Lawson.
Wow.
At Clemson. He's better at Clemson. Now, right. Now, you say, wow. Why would you say wow? Now, I really want to know, why would you say wow?
Probably because the media has portrayed Shaq Lawson as, you know, the unstoppable force.
Okay. Now, you're probably right. I don't even know where these guys rank, because when I got them done, I'm like, I wouldn't touch Ogbah. I wouldn't touch Clemson. I wouldn't touch Lawson. And they're talking about him in the first round. Ain't no way. In the NFL, you have to be able to play well with your feet, hips, and hands. Like, you have to have pass rushing skills. You've got to show that you play with great leverage and that you have a foundation of those fundamentals. If you don't, I'm telling you this right now, you got no shot. Now, these two guys I just referred to, I literally have about – I'm looking at their notes. I looked at about 100 plays on each kid in about 6 games. I repeated over and over – they just lay on people. There's no explosiveness. There's nothing in their hips. There's no hands. Well, there's oftentimes guys get sacks. I remember one time Ogbah got a sack, and I'm like, I'm going to tell you this. He didn't get credit for that sack. The tackle had manhandled him, and he threw him into the quarterback. Sure enough, you go on the stats, and I'm like, are you kidding me? So what you have to do is you have to understand the environment they're going to first. I mean, if you don't understand that, then you can sit and watch tape all along at college, and you're just not going to have a clue. So I put in – Bronson Cafusi. Now, here's where he translates really well. He has great feet, hips, and hands. I mean, he's got good fundamentals from a defensive perspective. But here's where he separates himself from those two guys. If that's just not enough, which that is clearly enough, you can line him up. You guys know this. You can line him at right end, left end. Really critical, you can put him over the guards. When you can move a guy in the trenches, if you remember Justin Tuck from Notre Dame, I mean, he arguably was the Super Bowl MVP when the Giants beat the Patriots because they used Justin Tuck in that second matchup at the Super Bowl to get pressure on Tom Brady by lining him up over the guard, whereas in the Week 17 matchup, they used him out over the tackles. So in the Super Bowl, they created all these different matchups, and it actually changed the NFL in a way where you're trying to find guys that are good enough, big enough, and bad enough, and smart enough to go across the offensive line and find matchups. Because the NFL is about that. Well, I take Bronson Cafusi over those two guys any day, anywhere, anyhow, and he's got a better chance of transitioning to the NFL because of all the things I just shared. These other two guys, one-dimensional, line up on one side. Other than Ogbah, he'll flip to the other side. And oftentimes they only do that because he's getting whipped by the other left tackle. So they move him to the other side to see if they can't get some pressure. And those things are factual. They're not going to change. They will. Both of them will struggle immensely. And somebody, you hope that where Bronson goes, they have a good defensive line coach because he can only get better.
Yeah.
But he has a great foundation. Like, I look at him, and I'm like, okay, I don't have to teach him how to do work his hands. Plays with great leverage, has great instincts, is smart, played in a lot of positions. Okay, a lot of the battle's over. He knows. People go, well, you can teach him that. You can teach anything, but you forget to ask the question, can you learn it and apply it? That's the big hurdle. I could teach you anything. can the player learn it and apply it? Well, I've already seen him apply it. I got a good shot. I go, listen, I'm going to be able to do a lot with this guy. The other two guys, I'm just going to be working on getting them to learn how to play the game at the level they're about to enter. That's a daunting task. I don't want that task. That is just too hard. And oftentimes, especially if you're a high draft pick, now you don't have sacks, can't get on the field, I mean, you're done in 2 years. So, I mean, you need to watch, when you watch the show, anyway, getting back to that, you'll see that the foundation that we create from the environment, all these positions are going. And we're going to do Derrick Henry in this first show. You know, now he's a guy who won the Heisman Trophy, but he does not translate well to the NFL, you know, because of the most important skill set for a runner going from college to NFL is what I call spontaneous agility. And people always go, what is that spontaneous agility? I'm like, did you guys see the combine?
I saw some of it, yes.
Okay, now I'm sure you saw the agility drill where they had a cone here and a cone there, and everybody makes their cuts at the cone. Now, I think it's a very good drill to see the agility. However, on Sunday at 1 o'clock, those cones are moving. And those cones are 6'5", 300, and 6'2", 245. And they're grown men, smart men, and they know what they're doing. So they're not just sitting there, and I can't just make a cut at the cone. I got to make people miss in a tight environment, especially as a runner in the NFL, much more than in college. I mean, it'll triple in the NFL, the traffic and the tight quarters. So if you can't get in and out of breaks, you don't have power, the odds of you being successful on a consistent basis is slim to none. And the real problem with Derrick Henry, I never seen a guy, he's trying to, his eyes see it, he just can't get it. His feet won't work that quick. You know, he tips over, he takes a lot of shots, and it's just going to be a really hard transition for him, and people be disappointed because they're expecting Heisman Trophy winner, 2,000 yards. Now, those 2,000 yards are going to get cut down to about 700, and that's if he gets 365 carries when he comes to the NFL. So it's a show that kind of shows all that, but we do highlight Bronson Cafusi towards the end of the show, and I don't do that because Bo goes to BYU, or I do that based on the tape I saw. If I thought Bronson Cafusi couldn't play, I wouldn't even put him in the show. I wouldn't
even do right. that. And I we'd mean, still I, talk I, to I you just, about it. Yeah, we'd still ask you the yeah. question. Yeah.
But yeah. I tell you the truth about him, too. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
I have no agenda. I have no agenda on this thing. I know nothing about these guys. The tape tells you the truth about the player, and then you just share that truth. Because I ain't smart enough. And I had to spend nearly 2 months to watch all of these players, you know. I heard you guys talk about Mitch Matthews. Bo sent me a text to look at Mitch Matthews, and then I met with him. And so, and even watching him when I got there, watched Bo and BYU play. I really don't know what his skill set is until I study him. And then it becomes clearer. Now I can see the things that he can do well, he'll have to get better at if he wants to transition. And can he transition? Yes. I think there's a lot of things Mitch Matthews does really, really well that people will covet when they're looking at wide receivers in the NFL.
When there's a conversation about players, we've discussed this at length. There's what they do on the field and what you're talking about. You watch film. Then there's the off season and dudes run around in their underwear and their spontaneous agility and there's all these drills, right? What weight do you give to each in how you evaluate a player?
Well, what you just explained, and there's two types of evaluations in the NFL, because I've been doing this from playing nearly a decade and the next about 30 years, over 30 years from playing and studying this league. I've sat with GMs at NFL Films for a couple of years. I'm not going to give names, but they were measurable guys. We watch a guy on tape, and what I mean is they'd be like, oh, 6'3", 245, runs a 4.440. Now I'm watching him. I'm going, okay, this guy stinks. This guy can't play. And then we come to another, oh, God, well, 5'11", you know, 215, runs a 4.640. And I'm down on him. I'm like, okay, now that dude can play. I mean, now that's a football player. Well, I'm going to back up even further. It was my second year in the National Football League. Chuck Knoll came in one day, and he said, and there had been this argument going on within the organization for actually 4 or 5 years. At the beginning of training camp, everybody's there. Every scout, everybody, a part of the organization is there. So you have regions all over there, all come together. They wanted to do the first practice like a mini combine. You know, we had the 40, we did the agility, we do the vertical. And Chuck didn't want to waste his time on that because it had already been done. Well, Mr. Rooney came to him, and he's like, can we find a common ground? They find a common ground, and here's the common ground. Chuck tells us we're going to run the 40 vertical and agility drill that we had that they set up. Everybody will have every ounce of pads that they are required to wear. That means DBs, get your thigh pads in, get your knee pads in, get your hip pads, and I want butt pads in. Get your socks rolled down. I want to see that you're taped. If you spat, get your shoes spatted. And then they didn't cut the grass, I swear to you, for a month. We run the 40. Rod Woodson, a world-class sprinter in college, number one draft pick. And he was drafted the same year I was drafted by the Steelers. He ran the fastest 40, 4.68.
Wow.
Okay, now what – we come to the meeting the next day, you know, after all this stuff is done, we've wasted a day of practice, and he said, and Chuck shares the fastest 40, the fastest vertical and the biggest broad jump, all the numbers. He said, now, guys, now that we found out who are the best at these drills, I got 5 weeks to find out who can play football, and that's who I'm keeping. Well, right then I was like, there's the difference. You have athletic measurables, and you have a football skill set. If you make choices based on athletic drills and evaluation, I'll promise this, you'll make mistake after mistake after mistake. You have to let the football skill set drive your decision-making and your evaluation. Do I think it's important that you blend in the athleticism? Absolutely. But that cannot drive you. Every year we get – in fact, it's funny you said that, okay? I'm talking to some GMs on our air at ESPN. I start talking about Bronson Cafusi, and it's what's his name who ran it. I'll think of his name here in a minute. If the senior boy's like, oh, boy, I really liked him. He goes, he liked these, said he's tall, big, you know, and all the things we already know. And I go, I'll tell you a guy I don't get is Ogbaugh from Oklahoma State. Here was his response. Oh, he blew it up at the combine. I'm like, every year there's somebody who benches 30 pounds, 225, 30 times, and runs a nice 40 because they're big. And they get drafted high based on that. And every year these guys can't play. But that's a GM who bases a lot of his evaluation skills on measurables. It's a big mistake. It's a drastic mistake. And I have learned over and over again, you go down that road, you will make tons of mistakes, less mistakes from just a football evaluation. But you got to know what that skill set is and how it pertains to the environment they're going into, too. So that's not easy either. That takes a lot of time.
Fascinating stuff with Merrill Hodge, ESPN NFL analyst. You can watch his NFL draft show featuring Bronson Cafusi tonight and April 19th starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. You were at the BYU football spring game with the new staff, the new changes, the new schemes, and so we want to get your take on what you saw on the field from BYU, including your son, Bo Hodge, about and what you think this team is capable of moving forward under Kalani Sitake.
Well, okay, the first thing, when I used to say, I'm going to have to back up when I started coaching Bo. Bo started playing football at 7. That's when he wanted to start playing. And they'd let him play if I would coach. So part of my thought process, if Bo wanted to play football, was I'm going to take everything Chuck Noll taught me and apply it to give it to these kids, because there's so many unbelievable life lessons I wanted to teach through football. But part of teaching football, especially with, I didn't know what position Bo was going to fall into, but I could tell he fell into quarterback really quick because, A, he wouldn't shut up. B, everything I called was stupid. And he knew more than I did. So I was like, all right, well, you're not going to work as a running back or a wide receiver or a tackle. Okay, I'm going to make him a quarterback. And he was a gifted. Bo had just some gifts. Still to this day, of all the players I played with, he's the most instinctive player I've ever been around. And I got to know him from the day he went on a football field and knew nothing. So that's how I know how instinctive he is. Well, I made all our quarterbacks, we had to play under center. I made them play under center. They couldn't play in the shotgun for 3 years. And they fought me every day. Because kids just want to stand in the shotgun now. And I think in youth football, we do a disservice to our young kids by not teaching them how to play the position, the complete position. And I said, Bo, you never know. I'm going to tell you this. I never know when you're going to need this, but I do know this. You're not going to ever do it in high school. I know what high school you're going to. You're not going to do that. And based on what's going on in colleges, you may never see it there. But let's say you were good enough to go all the way, and you've never taken a snap under center. It could cost you. I go, look at it that way for me. So do it. And then I fought. Well, when I saw him under center, and actually when the first time he went under center, he texted me and said, hey, thanks, Dad. I knew what he said, thanks, Dad. That's all he said. I was like, I know what he's talking about, because he could play under center because he learned how to do it at a very young age. And what was interesting, and he's really helped me, is we look at evaluating players in these spread offenses, which from my perspective, this is not college perspective, so understand, I know college is about winning in college. That's important. That's what they care about. But taking guys out of a spread offense in the NFL is one of the most difficult things to do. They learn nothing. They're simple offenses. They don't teach things that you really need to teach to fully orchestrate and play like in the NFL. That's why the more I look at these spreads, I'm like, God, why do you limit yourself like that? And what I mean by that is, do you know how valuable the huddle is? I can't tell you how many times we changed things, made plays by the communication one guy to the other about a play that was going on because we were in the huddle. The full compliment that you get, and you teach the quarterback how to play, the command they have, protections, hot routes, that are not taught, how to read coverage. These wide receivers at BYU in the spreads, they have no idea. I'm like, that's almost mind-boggling. So what I'm saying is, I know everybody I talk to, from Bo to all these, they love it. And I think it's awesome that it's there. What you have to realize is it's a new system. There's a lot of new learning. There's a lot of layers of learning these kids have to learn how to do it. Sometimes when you're learning, you don't play with great instincts and you don't play like you want to because you're thinking a lot because you're learning. You know, that's going to take a while. You know, you have so many reps and so much time at college, which hurts these kids. But eventually, I believe it's the right path. There's a lot of energy about it. Bo obviously loved it. I mean, I've known Ty for a long time, Ty Detmer, and you know, I've always liked him as a person, but I've heard great things about him as a coach, and Bo loves playing for him. You know, when you have a guy that will teach you and you love playing for, you get every ounce out of your kids, and there's no doubt they're going to do that with that staff.
Merrill, fantastic stuff. We appreciate the time, and look forward to the NFL draft presentation tonight.
Yeah, make sure you watch. You've got Bronson Cafusi. He represents very well in the NFL, guys.
Oh, we will be watching. Merrill Hodge on the Deseret First Credit Union Hotline. Deseret First, your values, your timeline, your financial future.
Great stuff from Merrill, kind of about the process and how he evaluates. I always wonder that, because it's on the field, and then there's run around in your underwear, and how do you combine those two things?
But Bronson Cafusi, better than two for sure first-round draft picks?
Interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Up next, will Mitch Matthews be a draft pick? Some of your tweets. Keep it here. BYU Sports Nation presented by the BYU Store, the official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan live from Studio B. Remember, if you miss an episode of this show live, the rebroadcast airs weeknights on BYU TV at 6 Eastern. We have spoken with BYU basketball returned missionary and the Ginger Mamba, TJ Haws.
The Ginger Mamba.
As well as Merrill Hodge of ESPN, who just told us that he thinks Bronson Cafusi is better than two for sure first-round draft picks at the defensive line pass rusher position.
That's an interesting opinion, because the opinion right now is that BYU's Bronson Cafusi is a day-two prospect. So we'll see what happens.
And will BYU have more than one draft pick? Our Twitter question today, will Mitch Matthews be an NFL draft pick? Why or why not? Let's get to some of your tweets.
Tweet, tweet.
At Old Max Hall. Nice. Yes, because
Max Hall.
He killed it at Pro Day. And we talked to Merrill Hodge about this, about the intangibles that you can put on display during Pro Day and then what you do on the field. He said,
and those are the tangibles on Pro Day.
Yes, yep. That Mitch Matthews has a number of things that will be appealing to NFL, I don't know, GMs, people that are making the decisions,
yeah.
Coaches.
Scouts.
But will Mitch, is it enough for him to get drafted in the 7 rounds?
Yeah, either way to me, it's going to be close. If he's drafted, it was close. If he's not, it was close to him being drafted. I think he's going to be at least on a practice squad and have a good chance of competing for a spot on a 53. That's where I think he is. At JSJ35. Yes, because he is elite.
Well, there you go.
That's the answer.
That's all the reasoning
that's
you need.
That's all you need. We need to read this next one. At Lando Cougrizian.
Nice.
Lando Cougrizian says the following. Billy D. Williams weighing in. He should be, if only for his hands. The guys can catch anything. My concern is his speed. How fast does Mitch run? Now, his speed was addressed in the 40.
Ran in the 4.4s.
4.47? Was that?
One person had a 4.47. The other had a 4.46. But whatever.
Which
fast.
Is crazy fast. Like, that's faster than I thought. I thought he'd run like a 4.6. Now,
fast.
Is there that big of a difference? It's kind of like gasoline. We all go down the street because it's like 4 cents more or less. You get like 20 gallons. It was like a dollar and a half. There's not that big a difference, right? Or is there?
At Sporting SLC says, depends on if the Green Bay Packers can accumulate more late round picks. They have been known to go after guys like Mitch Matthews.
Okay.
Stay with us. The Cougar Whip Around hits next. Everything you need to know. BYU Sports Station presented in part by DexterLaw.com. Help when you need it most. Jerem,
let us whip it.
Okay.
It's time for the Cougar Whip Around.
Baseball.
Baseball game day for the Batcats against Utah tonight, 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio. The Cougars moved up to 21. The Riders poll 22 and the coaches. The Cougars are 35th in the RPI.
Men's basketball.
Kyle Collinsworth will play in the 64th annual Portsmouth Invitational Tournament in Virginia starting Thursday. It's a pre-draft opportunity for potential NBA draftees.
Cougars in the NFL.
Fox Sports NFL insider Mike Garofalo reports our homie Dennis Pitta will continue his NFL career after consulting with doctors about his twice-repaired hip. That's great.
Track and field.
Jerem's going to keep his job for at least another year.
Very exciting for me.
Shaquille Walker.
Shaq Walker
has been named the U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association, that is USTFCCCA to be exact, Athlete of the Week for his performance at the Sun Angel Track Classic. He was the first athlete to go under 1 minute 45 seconds in the 800 in 4 years.
Volleyball.
The men remain atop the ABCA Coaches Poll, garnering 13 of the 20 first place votes. UC Irvine, who BYU will face on Saturday, is ranked 14th.
Golf.
The men's team leads the Ping Cougar Classic at 22 under par collectively after day one. Austin Christensen and Patrick Fishburne are tied at 7 under, which is one back of the overall lead.
Cougars in the minor leagues.
Adam Miller had a save for the Mobile Bay Bears last night. He has 3 saves and 3 appearances this season.
Athletics.
Go Bay Bears. The Cougarettes won their 7,000th national championship. Oh, I'm sorry, 16th national championship since 1997.
Wow.
They took home the title in the Jazz division. Oh,
congrats again.
All they do is win national championships.
They're so good, we're bored with it.
And this
is unbelievable.
There are a number of dance competitions. Like, this is the Premier League of dance competitions in the NCAA.
Oh, the Premiership?
Yes, the Premiership of dance competitions. Seriously, it is.
Barclays? No?
El Clasico between BYU and Louisville.
La Liga?
Yeah. Future guests on the show include Ryan Hancock, former BYU football quarterback and baseball player. He's big on the Batcats right now. He's always tweeting during those games. And Taron Houck, another NFL draft hopeful.
Plus Ben Patch to preview the MPSF quarterfinal. He might be the conference player of the year that comes out Thursday.
Today's Rise and Shout brought to you by Dexter and Dexter Help when you need it most. DexterLaw.com. We're giving it to the Pitta Takeover. Dennis Pitta.
Dennis Pitta, Pitta Bread. Love Dennis Pitta. Really excited that he could play another season. I hope that it works out for him because, like Austin Colley, tremendous skill position player that we need in the NFL because BYU needs guys in the NFL.
A Super Bowl champion, a guy who caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl in 2013.
Right,
will Mitch Matthews be joining him in the NFL as a pick? Why or why not? Our elite tweet of the day is from BYU LASF Jazz. He says, my bet is the CFL, eh?
Come on, man! No, I think he'll make an NFL roster in some form. Thanks to Merrill Hodge, TJ Hawes. Merrill Hodge, TJ Hawes. That sounds very close. I thought I messed up. And everyone on our crew.
Merrill Hawes and TJ Hodge.
Yeah, something like that.